What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Matthew 16:26. I am Rob West. In that verse, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, teaching them about the cost of discipleship and the value of the soul in contrast to worldly gains. The question remains, is there a spiritual cost to achieving financial success? John Reinhart joins us today to talk about it. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest today is my friend John Reinhart. He's founder and CEO of Gospel Patrons, the organization that helps business leaders, entrepreneurs, and others marshal their finances and influence to support Christian ministries spreading the gospel around the world. John, great to have you here.
Thanks so much, Rob. This is exciting.
John, you have a great article in our magazine, Faithful Steward. It was the first issue, and I was so thrilled to be able to get this article in there because I think this idea is one that so many people haven't thought about and need to, and it's titled Breaking the Cycle, How Financial Success Can Lead to Spiritual Failure. Now, financial success can obviously be a very good thing, but let's talk about why it's also something we should be wary of.
Yeah, actually, there's so many warnings in the Bible about wealth. And wealth can be a blessing, and God makes rich and God makes poor, so he's sovereign over that. We see many wealthy people throughout the scriptures, both Old Testament and New. And yet, when we come to Jesus, we see that he warned his disciples very specifically and often, constantly, about the dangers of wealth. And it just seems like something we don't talk about very often, that we have a temptation to try to love God and money. And Jesus says, actually, that's impossible. You can only have one master. But we live in a culture and we live in a world that idolizes wealth and success and money and possessions. And it's just something we need to be very careful about and have a watchful eye on.
That's well said, John, and I couldn't agree more. So let's move into this toxic cycle of success. We will, of course, share the productive side of this, the direction we should go. But let's talk about where this can go wrong.
It starts with our view of work. Really, many of us are working, and our view of work is to trade time for money so that we can rest. We think of work as a means of exchange to get what I really want, which oftentimes is money, comfort, security, and rest. That's not where the Bible starts, but what happens is if we hustle and strive and go after work in that fashion, we end up prospering because we work hard.
Yeah.
And then we find ourselves failing because we succeed and we forget God and we end up in a place that we never intended to be.
Yeah, John, and it can happen perhaps without us even realizing it. And so much of this really comes back to the me and the my that we see in the parable of the rich fool. You know, when we think it's all as a result of our hand and our work, we're not calibrated to the Father, and that tends to take us down the wrong track, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's so good. And the rich fool building bigger barns hits home for an American audience because that seems to be the goal. That's the American dream, is that we would make enough to be able to relax, eat, drink, be merry. And we don't see it coming that Jesus is going to turn the corner and say, you fool, tonight your life is required of you. That's our goal in our culture, and we need to be aware of that.
John, you talk about we work hard, and that's a good thing, and we prosper, and we know that production leads to prosperity. That's part of God's design. That's a good thing. Rest can be a good thing, but then you talk about how that slips into forgetting. What is it that we forget?
Yeah, there's a very well-known passage in Deuteronomy 8 that says that when your wealth prospers, God is warning Israel before they enter the promised land. This is the land that had been given to them with milk and honey. They'd been looking forward to it for decades.
Yes.
And yet Jesus says, I want to bless you, but when you get into that land and I bless you, be careful that when all things are prospering, you don't forget the Lord. And then he adds this, because it's the Lord who gives you the power to get wealth. Mm. And I think right there is the key. We often think it's our power to get wealth. And then when the wealth and prosperity come, it's our wealth.
Yes.
And we know from scripture that everything belongs to God. And even here, he's saying it's the power to get wealth that comes from God as well.
That's exactly right. After 40 years of wandering the desert, standing across the Jordan River from the Promised Land, Moses addresses the nation of Israel, and it was prosperity that would be more challenging than anything. And of course, as John points out, that can lead to sin if we forget the God who created us. Well, when we come back, we'll talk about the virtuous cycle, where we need to go. John Reinhart with us today. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Why did God let this happen? I think every Christian asks this question at some point. During the harder times in my life, I know I have. But I've only ever found one truly satisfying answer. And it's not the answer to my particular why did this happen question of the moment. It's remembering that God's answer to human suffering was to become one of us. Jesus endured a suffering that exceeds anything you and I will ever have to face. So we can join the Apostle Paul in saying, He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us again. On Him we have set our hope. Your King knows what you're facing today, and He'll see you through. Get Anchor Devotional in print. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, my friend John Reinhart. He's founder of Gospel Patrons. You know, if you think about it, every movement of God that involves a gospel proclaimer has a gospel patron, someone funding the work behind that person, all the way back to Jesus and the three women that were a part of funding his ministry. Well, John and his wife Renee have been chronicling those stories. It comes to life in the book Gospel Patrons, but there's a whole ministry surrounding it, telling just amazing stories of gospel patrons. And we'll hear from John a little later in this segment about gospel patrons and how you can engage more. But John, we're talking now about succeeding financially without failing spiritually. And before the break, you set up the cycle that can lead to spiritual failure when we work and we prosper and then we rest and withdraw, but we can forget wealth can blind us from our need for God, and then that can lead to sin. I know you've written extensively on the parable of the sower, which really highlights this idea of, you know, money is a good gift from God, but when we worship the creation over the creator, it can lead to problems. And what that parable points out is that, as Jesus explains, you know, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things and the cares of this world can choke out the word from bearing fruit, right?
Yeah, it's startling that Jesus would say that. I wouldn't think there's anything that can choke out the word of God because it's the most powerful force in the universe.
Yes.
And yet he does say, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word so that it proves unfruitful. Man, I don't want that for my life or for anyone's life, because I believe the word of God is meant to produce 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit through our lives. That's what we want. But we got to be careful about this cycle of success that leads to some of those things.
Yeah, that's right. So let's talk about where we should go. What is that better way, God's rhythm for life?
Well, instead of working for rest and working for wealth, I think the place to start is we actually start with rest, that God has instituted rest into our weekly rhythm. He calls it the Sabbath. It's in the top 10 commands from the Old Testament. Isn't that mind-blowing that the God of the Bible would command rest? He doesn't want to treat us like slaves or servants. He treats us like children who get a day off. And man, I know many, many business leaders, and I just think that's a really hard command for many of us to obey. We have always more work that could be done, but I believe this is actually where the cycle of health begins for us as business leaders and business owners and professional people. Man, we need to start with this place of, we're not working for rest, we're working from rest, and that's where it begins. From there, we know that when we rest, the Sabbath is a great chance to worship. It's a chance to go to church with your family. It's a chance to sing God's praises. It's a chance to be in God's word, to hear God's word, to reset for the week forward. And so what that does is it takes work out of the center place of our lives and our hearts. We're not constantly stirring on it and thinking about it and trying to solve Monday's problems on Saturday and on Sunday, but we actually lift our eyes beyond that to God, who's sovereign, who loves us, who cares, who's with us in every trial, who can help us in every problem, and begins to reverse this inward spiral outward, where we stop thinking so much about work and we're conscious of God. Then when we show up to work on Monday, we've got a totally different starting place than we did before. We're refreshed, we're filled up, we're ready to go, and we can bring the same sense of hard work that we would otherwise, but we're starting from a different place. And when we do that work out of the overflow of our time with God, our work actually becomes a sense of worship. Instead of just trading time for money, it's an opportunity to use our skills and our gifts and our talents that God's given us to bless others, to serve others, to fulfill the good works He created us for. And so rest is really the starting place. Then when our work succeeds and we are blessed and God provides and we prosper, we understand that that prosperity came from God's hand. It wasn't just the result of our intelligence, hard work, effort, but God's hand was in it. Deuteronomy 8:18 says it's the Lord who gives you the power to get wealth. And we understand that that wealth came from Him, and that wealth ultimately belongs to Him. And so therefore, we're not owners, we're stewards. And we understand that some of what God wants us to do with our wealth is to be wildly, radically stunning in our generosity and pass that along to bless His kingdom, to take care of the poor, to advance the gospel, to serve His kingdom purposes everywhere we find them. And that leads to an incredible amount of joy, that we're not just working for ourselves, but the work that we do can actually contribute to things God is doing all over our city, our church, our community, and even to the ends of the earth. And that puts new purpose back in our work. And we get really, really excited then to show up again to go, Lord, can I do more of that? Can I contribute more to what you're doing? My 9-to-5 job or my 40 hours a week, does that actually have a place in advancing your kingdom? And that puts new motivation back in our work.
Oh, this is so good. We can break free from the toxic cycle of success that seems to be the default unless we protest to the contrary. Now, John, you've walked alongside so many business leaders that actually got this right, that they were able to live out what you just described in that virtuous cycle of success that leads to rejoicing. What has been a key that you've observed in the life of those men and women that have pursued it this way?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, believe it or not, some of the wealthiest, most successful business leaders that I have had the privilege to interact with have a real deep commitment to their local church. that church for them is not an optional extra if they can fit it in against all of their other, you know, programs and work and schedule and travel and all of that. But they're committed to try to be home to worship with their local community. Mm. I think it's a place where they can be known. It's a place where they can be fed. It's a healthy discipline in their lives. Even if their church isn't the best and they could listen to better preachers elsewhere, there's a commitment to show up and be a part of a local church. And I think that shows humility. It shows teachability.
Yeah.
I think there's another piece that's just, there's a commitment to reading the Bible for themselves, that the Word of God isn't something you just touch for 5 minutes on a Sunday and then move on with the rest of your week. But there's a daily rhythm of learning to ingest God's Word, soak in God's Word, let God's Word be the thing that shapes and forms our lives. So, man, there's so many things, but those would be probably the top two.
I love that. Now, one of the things we can do is we can read stories of those that have really purposed their lives this way, and that's really gospel patrons. Here in the final 90 seconds that we have, just give us a thumbnail sketch of gospel patrons and the book that you wrote.
Yeah, gospel patrons is behind every great movement of God. There's some who are going to go first in preaching, and there's many who are going to go first in giving. And gospel patrons are those leaders who are maybe not gifted to be on the stage or translating the Bible or crossing a culture to be a missionary, but God's gifted them to make money, to succeed in their career, and to give generously to advance God's kingdom. And we tell those stories both from history, from scripture, even modern day stories through gospelpatrons.org.
Mm, excellent. Those stories are there. They're beautifully captured. But the book is really the foundation of all of this. It chronicles how this all started and how God set John and Renee out on this course. You can buy it wherever you buy books. John, what would you leave our audience with today?
Yeah, I would say that you have a part to play, that you're not second class in God's kingdom, that what you do every day can matter for eternity. When we connect what we're doing to God's kingdom, when we live generously, we are actually the most joyful people on the planet.
Mm, wow. Well, John, I don't say this lightly. I think you are one of the most important voices today in this space of biblical stewardship. And I'm so thankful for your friendship, and I really appreciate you being here today.
Thank you so much, Rob. That's huge.
That's John Reinhart. He's founder and CEO of Gospel Patrons. Folks, pick up a copy of this book, Gospel Patrons, wherever you buy books, or head to gospelpatrons.org to learn more. That's gospelpatrons.org. Back with your questions after this, 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and you're listening to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back after this break.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
If you believe in the work of the American Family Association and you want to ensure that it continues for generations, consider including a gift in your will or trust. It's one of the most popular and effective ways to give. You'd simply connect with one of your advisors who would help you include language in your will or trust to include a specific gift to the American Family Association. If you'd like to learn more or connect with an advisor who can help you with that, just go to afafoundation.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Boy, I love when John Reinhart stops by. If you haven't read Gospel Patrons, pick it up today. These are incredible stories looking at all of the patrons funding the work of the Gospel Proclaimers, those the Lord has entrusted with a unique platform to proclaim His truth. All of those proclaimers required funding from Jesus and the three women that were participating in supporting his ministry, his earthly ministry, all the way through Billy Graham and all of the greats through time. There was men and women who came alongside them to bring some of that funding that was needed. And these stories are incredible. They're all chronicled there in Gospel Patrons. You can pick it up wherever you buy books. All right, the market starting off in really strong territory today. The Dow Jones up more than 500 points here to begin the trading day. The S&P 500 up 1.5%. The NASDAQ bumping up against a 2% increase today. That's all on the hopes that perhaps Trump is softening his tariff stance. We'll get all the details from Bob Dahl a little later today in our final segment as he weighs in on what's moving the markets today. We'll also be taking your phone calls today. Whatever's on your mind financially, we'd love to hear from you. That number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. In the news today, a majority of Americans are dissatisfied with the savings rates they're getting at their local bank. A new survey by Vanguard shows that most respondents are earning less than 3% on savings that they're keeping in traditional banks. That's happening while many higher yield savings account at online banks have rates from 4 to 4.5% even now. More than two-thirds of those surveyed said they'll change their savings plans in the next year, mostly because of inflation, suggesting that more people are considering the move to an online bank. Some of the reasons folks have put off doing that are, first, they're more comfortable being able to go into a bank and speak to someone in person. Secondly, others are afraid that online banks may pose security risks, which, by the way, really isn't the case, at least not any more than a traditional bank. Think about it. Even though they have that brick-and-mortar operation, you're probably doing most of your banking through their online portal. Again, no different than an online bank. They just lack that physical presence. Another reason is the perceived complexity of setting up new accounts and updating automatic payments or direct deposits to them. But with yields a point or two higher at online banks, a lot of folks are starting to realize that it's probably worth the trouble to make the switch. And by the way, these days you can set it up in just a couple of minutes. And I realize you have to update some information, but keep in mind, if you're leaving your primary checking account where it is and you're just updating your savings, you probably don't have direct deposit going there. You may are likely not making automatic debits from that to pay bills. That's probably coming out of your main operating account. So probably isn't going to require a whole lot of work on your part. Let me also mention that if you would like a solution that pays very attractive interest rates and shares your values as a Christ follower, I think that's where Christian Community Credit Union, our partner, can be a great resource. They're a not-for-profit serving Christians with really compelling banking solutions, but also making sure that a portion of every dollar that comes in is going to support Christian ministries around the globe doing work in the name of Jesus.
A great partner for you to consider at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com to learn more. All right, we're going to dive into your questions today. I've got a few lines open, so you can call right now. 800-525-7000. Let's go to Ohio. Hi, CJ. How can I help?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I sure can, yeah.
Good, hi. Oh, thanks so much. Sandy did a wonderful job of taking my information down. Do you have questions based on what she wrote? Because those are my questions.
Okay, great. Yeah, if you'll just restate that for the benefit of our listening audience, and that way they'll know what you're wrestling with today. That'd be great.
Yes. Okay, well, two quick ones, I hope quick. One has to do with a Roth IRA that I already have. And I'm wondering, is there a best time to take that out, or maybe I should say to not have a tax penalty is my point. I think it has to be in place for 5 years and then money can be taken out without a penalty. Am I correct?
You are correct. So two requirements there. There's an age requirement first, which just is simply you have to be at least 59 and a half. And then secondly, and in addition to the age requirement, you have that 5-year holding period. So the Roth IRA must have been open for at least 5 tax years starting January 1st of the year you made your first contribution or conversion, if that's applicable. And this applies even if you're over 59 and a half. So those would be the two requirements.
Okay, thank you. And then secondly, I have an ESOP. Our company is 100% employee owned. Okay. And we have the employer that makes the contributions, distributions, whatever. We don't have any money that comes out of our paycheck, which is very nice. The company has excelled over the years, and so the ESOP has been growing very quickly. But the question would be, when I get to retirement age or when I'm ready to retire, to roll that money over, would it need to roll into a traditional IRA, or could it roll into the Roth without a tax penalty?
Yeah, it's a great question. So you would be able to roll that, because that's a pre-tax ESOP, you'd be able to roll that to a traditional IRA, and then you could do a Roth conversion if, in fact, that is a pre-tax employee stock ownership plan. And then at the point of the conversion, which you can do an unlimited amount, converting from traditional to Roth, you would have to recognize all of that as income in the year that you did it.
I see. Okay. Well, I don't know really the difference between a Roth and a traditional. I'm just honest on that. But I had been recommended initially to take out the Roth. So I guess I don't want to take up too much time.
That's a great question. Let's do this. I've got to hit a break here, CJ, but let's talk about that just around the corner, because it's worth considering whether you want everything in Roth or whether you want both options available in retirement. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian credit counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian credit counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org, or call 800-557-1985.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
Empty stomachs, waterborne illnesses,
hopelessness. These are harsh realities for impoverished African children, but you can make a difference. Join with Cross International to share the love of Jesus with a child in critical need today. Each gift of $62 provides a child with life-saving resources. Give now at crossinternational.org/faith or 866-843-9500 and help kids go from barely surviving to thriving.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
Hey, we're announcing a weekend with AFA on Thursday, October the 2nd through Saturday, October the 4th. We'll have a weekend get-together with AFA leadership and supporters. It's a chance for all of us to get better acquainted.
It's a weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. This is where we help you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. We're taking your calls at 800-525-7000. Coming up in the next segment, Bob Dahl stops by. We'll get Bob's take on what's moving the markets. Market up pretty strong this morning to start the trading day. We'll get Bob's explanation on that, plus what he's looking at in the week ahead. That's coming up in the next segment. In the meantime, we're talking with CJ from Ohio. CJ is working for a company that's been pretty successful. It's entirely employee-owned. He's got an employee stock ownership program. He's interested in his Roth IRA. He's heard the benefits of the after-tax Roth growing tax-free for you to pull the money out. He's wondering about the wisdom in perhaps rolling his ESOP when he separates from employment over to a traditional IRA and then converting. And, you know, I would say there are some benefits for you to have, CJ, both the tax-free and the tax deferred. So one is the traditional IRA where you got the deduction going in and then you're going to pay the tax coming out. That's generally how the ESOPs are handled. And that would certainly be true if you rolled it to an IRA. And then with the Roth, you put in the after-tax dollars, but you get the tax-free growth. And, you know, a lot of planners and advisors will say that the, having both at your disposal is really kind of like the retirement Swiss Army knife, if you will, because you have flexibility. You have tax control, because one of the unknowns is what the tax structure will look like when you get to that season of life. So with the pre-tax that's come, you know, being taxed as you take it out, if your tax rates drop when your income falls, you may decide that's the time to go ahead and pull from the pre-tax environment. Obviously, the after-tax would be best if tax rates rise or you had a high income from other sources, you may prioritize the after-tax. So I think having that flexibility with your withdrawal strategy can make some sense, just given the unknowns. And then, you know, you obviously can think about it from a legacy planning standpoint as well. So, there were some studies done looking at thousands of retirees and just looking at what was the optimal mix between pre-tax and after-tax. And what they found, just based on those literally thousands of cases that they looked at, was this rule of thumb that said if you add the number 20 to your age, So let's say you're 60, you know, then you would add 20 to your age. And they said that would result in 80%, you know, ideally being in the pre-tax environment, and then 20% in the Roth. That was just a rule of thumb. But I think the idea would be there that, you know, if you've already got some Roth money, let's continue to contribute to that and let it grow. But, you know, perhaps keeping, you know, the majority of it in that tax deferred environment, and then being able to select between the two, depending upon the tax structure and your income and your estate planning needs in that season of life, probably makes some sense. Not to mention, we wouldn't want a huge, you know, influx of taxable income because you're converting all of it in a relatively short period of time. You know, that could push, you know, that up into a higher tax bracket. Does that all make sense, though?
That is very helpful. And the only other thing that I'll get off, so someone else can ask a question, and that is, what is the phone number or the website when you are looking for an advisor? Because I think I would like at that point to have someone to work with.
Yeah, great. So the easiest way to find a certified Kingdom advisor, CJ, is on our site, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Right there at the top of the page, you'll see Find a Professional, and you can do a zip code search and find a list of CKAs there in Ohio. I'd interview two or three, find the one that's the best fit. But that's going to be somebody who's met our high standards of pastor reference, client reference, statement of faith, code of ethics, regulatory review. They passed a 60-hour training program and proctored exam. And there's a long list of requirements to earn CKA. But that's a good thing, because we want to make sure these are people that could really bring you competent advice, but in a way that aligns with biblical values.
That is excellent. Thank you so much for your ministry. You have a blessed day.
And you as well, CJ. Hey, stay on the line. I want to send you a gift, just a small thank you for being on the program today. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Kentucky. Hi, Harley. How can I help?
Okie dokie. I'm going to be as quick as possible. I do music full-time for a living, but I also used to be involved in a Sabbath-keeping church. The Sabbath-keeping church turned out to be a cult, so I'm not there anymore. But I still do music full time, and I don't know how a lot of people, you know, do they set aside a whole day the rest of the week like the Sabbath keepers do, or do they just set aside a couple of hours? You know, it's just sort of confusing in regards to how to get this rest thing, because I have four services on Sunday, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great question, Harley, and I appreciate you bringing it up. Obviously, we talked about rest being a key part of this rhythm, this virtuous rhythm that God created, you know, at the beginning of the program with John Reinhart. And I think the big idea here is that, you know, we want to prioritize the purpose for the Sabbath over the mechanics of when it happens. And so Scripture prioritizes the why, the rest and the renewal and the devotion and the worship over the when. You know, pastors have this same issue because, you know, many of them, you know, are taking their Sabbath day on a Friday or a Saturday or a Monday as their day of rest because they're busy as well on Sunday. And so I would say, you know, as we look at the biblical foundation, you know, whether it's, you know, the fourth commandment in Exodus, where, you know, and we see God resting on the seventh day after creation, there's no explicit Sunday mandate. I mean, we see that, you know, typically Sunday is the tradition that most Christians rest and worship due to church history, and that's when Christ's resurrection happens. And it's practical because, you know, we're gathering around church and it's just, you know, it makes for a natural day of rest. But I think the bigger idea is the principle, and that is that Sabbath is about rest and honoring God, in my view, rather than a rigidly tied, you know, to a specific day. And I think Romans 14, 5 and 6 speaks to this, you know, let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. And so I think that suggests personal freedom in choosing a rest day as long as it's for God's glory. And Jesus even taught on this and said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so, you know, I think we're emphasizing its purpose there as rest and renewal and worship over the timing issue. Does that make sense, though?
Yeah, well, I appreciate this. I knew you all had covered it as a foundational topic. And I says, well, I'm smack dab in the middle of it because I got four services on Sundays.
Yeah,
with a nap in between second and third.
I could certainly understand that. Well, it's a great question to raise, and obviously there would be others that would be far more equipped to speak into the specifics of it. But I think, you know, as long as you keep the big idea of why you're doing it in mind, and it's a day set aside and committed to the Lord, for me at least, the timing of that is less important. Thanks for being on the program, Harley. We appreciate it. Let's see, down to Texas. Hi, Harold. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, I'm starting over financially in my life, and I'm about 45, and I don't make the money I used to at all, and I'm just trying to find good financial advice on how to move forward in that situation.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts on that, Harold. First of all, I would just say your spending plan is really essential. Because, you know, drawing up a budget that accurately reflects your new level of income, I think, is really key. The FaithFi app could help you do that. It's going to help you put together a budget so you can live on less than what you make. That's going to be essential. Here's what I'd like to do. I've got to hit a break here, but I want to give you a gift. Two things. 6 months to the FaithFi app, a pro subscription. I'm also going to connect you at our cost with a certified Christian financial counselor to help you get set up with a plan and a rhythm that works for you. So stay on the line. We'll get your information and we'll get a CERT CFC in touch with you. We'll be right back.
We're going to talk about the further issue, our response, who's behind this.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Talk is cheap.
Honest, insightful.
Doing nothing is creating chaos in the world. Danger for America.
Sandy Rios informs listeners from a Christian worldview.
It's time to act in the polls, because I have to tell you, most of them are just doing nothing.
Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We have not been made the greatest nation in the history of mankind by denigrating God. We have become the greatest nation on earth because we are a nation that acknowledged Almighty God to be the source of our values, our rights, our liberties, and that therefore we are accountable to Him.
The Awakening on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Well, the market's starting the day strong today. That's right. The Dow Jones, the S&P, and the NASDAQ all in positive territory. And pretty significantly, Dow Jones up more than a point today. The S&P 500, 1.5%. The NASDAQ up over 2%, at least at the start of the trading day. Bob Dahl is here. He's our market expert. He manages billions of dollars in the market with a faith-based investing approach as the CEO and CIO at CrossMark Global Investments, a leader in faith-based investing. And Bob, what do you make of this early strength here to start the trading week?
Yeah, it's a sweet thing. It's a rally that kind of started on and off last week. Friday was an important day, and now there's follow-through. As we said last week, we thought we were getting oversold, due for a bounce. We're having that good bounce now. There might be more to go. I've sort of targeted 58 to 5,900 on the S&P. It's at 5,750 as we speak. So probably some more to go, but then my guess is we'll probably have to go back and test the lows in some way, shape, or form. The fundamental behind this, Rob, as you're probably aware, is President Trump saying, well, maybe those tariffs have more flexibility than he previously indicated, and the market's saying, maybe it's not so bad after all.
Yeah. But in terms of the economy, Bob, I mean, you made a note in your weekly commentary, Dulles Deliberations, that, you know, GDP's they're revising down and inflation they're revising up. I mean, those are not going in the right direction, are they?
No, it's a bad combination. That's the Fed that made those changes in their meeting last week. And look, growth slowing and inflation stubborn, it's not a great combination. It's among the reasons we had the decline. It's among the reasons we're probably not going straight back up to new highs.
Yeah. In terms of, you know, if we set the tariffs aside for a second, and obviously we'll see that play out, April 2nd will give us a better indication of where President Trump is headed with that as well. But just in terms of the other pieces that he's putting in place, how long does it take for these to flush their way through the economy to start to see a boost?
Longer than we have patience for, typically, Rob, as you know.
Yeah.
Look, markets will anticipate it, as we all would like to, but it takes time. For example, let's take the renewal of the Trump tax cuts, which expire right at the end of this year. They've got to craft a bill, and you know all the politics around that. That's going to take time, and there'll be some anxious moments where people will worry, maybe it's not going to go through, maybe it gets reduced, and maybe it will be. There's a lot of time. The deregulation of businesses, a lot of that is happening behind the scenes, even though tariffs is all we seem to talk about. That will start having an impact in the months ahead.
Yeah, very good. Bob, what about just, how expensive stocks are? Has, you know, this correction helped with that, or are we still overvalued in your estimation?
Yeah, I'm looking at my screen. The PE is over 21 times. We got down at the bottom of the decline to about 20.5, down from 22.5. Anything in the 20s, Rob, is kind of top decile in terms of historical observations for expensiveness. So stocks are certainly not cheap.
Yeah. All right. So summarize this for us. Here we are closing out Q1. Just as you think about where we find ourselves at the end of the first quarter, what would your just overall assessment be?
My advice, first of all, is keep the long-term in view. You can go nuts following the day-to-day up and down, and some people do. Take advantage of declines to buy things that you were looking to buy and to trim things on the way up that you were looking to trim. And your financial advisor can take care of that for you. So don't get lost in the details of the day-to-day. Know that there are good things happening behind the scenes, but occasionally we get roughed up. There are bear markets from time to time. There are corrections from time to time. That's all part of the ballgame.
Excellent. Bob, great advice as always. Thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Have a great week.
All right. That's Bob Dahl. He's CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, a leader in faith-based investing. You can learn more, crossmarkglobal.com. That's crossmarkglobal.com. While you're there, sign up for his weekly investment commentary, Dahl's Deliberations. All right. Let's head to Texas, Joel. Thank you for your call today. Joel, how can we help you?
Yes, sir. My question was about an insurance deposit. I have an IRA with Fidelity, and they're suggesting, they questioned me about taking an insurance deposit.
Yeah, so give me the context. So you're not talking about an insured deposit. An insurance deposit is not a standard term, so I'm just trying to understand what you're doing.
Yeah, well, it's a deposit. Is it a deposit of insurance?
Okay. What is the context?
That I can take up to 250 grand and put into it for 3 years.
Ah, okay. And so is it a savings account or a CD? What is it?
No, it's not a CD. It's a savings account.
Okay, yes. So you're talking about an insured deposit, and this is money you put into a bank or a credit union that's protected by government-backed insurance, typically through, with a bank, the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. So this is going to cover deposits in banks per titled account. So if you have multiple titled accounts, you could get more than one of these, but it's going to cover deposits up to $250,000 per depositor, per account category, per institution. Okay, so here's what that protects. If the bank fails, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, with a backstop of Congress, meaning backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, is going to make sure that you're made whole, even if that bank failed. And again, that's per depositor, per institution, and per account category. So if you had an individual account with a bank, you could get $250,000 on that. If you separately had a joint account, that's another account category, you get another $250,000. If you opened an account at a different bank or a different institution, you get another $250,000 on that. But the FDIC is the backing of the full faith and credit against the failure of that bank to make sure that you can get your money. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. He said that I could make about like 4.5 to 4.6 in interest, but it's got to be there for 3 years.
Okay.
And I that's a good deal.
Yeah. You shouldn't have to have that 3 year requirement. That's a little unusual, a little out of the ordinary. So right now with high yield savings that includes FDIC insurance, there are some online banks, that are paying close to 4% right now, but you have complete liquidity. You can get the money at any time. And so that's a little confusing that they're requiring you. It's not a CD, but they're still requiring you to leave it there for 36 months in order to get that. That would not be typical. Normally, a high yield savings with FDIC insurance at an online bank would have an APY of, today, I think the best I'm seeing is around 4.3%. But that's completely liquid at any point.
Okay. Well, the reason that he was asking me that, he said because maybe the market is unbalanced, it's not stable, and if I wanted to protect some of my money, I could do it this way. Yeah.
And did he describe what type of account it is? I mean, is he just calling it a savings account?
He's just calling it a deposit of insurance. For insurance deposit.
An insured deposit is probably what he's referring to.
Yeah.
What type of institution is it? Is it a bank?
It's New York Life.
Oh, New York Life. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is an insurance product. And they're gonna back it themselves, and they have reinsurance and so forth. But I see. So it's not just a bank savings account. This is an insurance offering, and they're saying, listen, if you stick to it, it's basically an annuity, a guaranteed fixed annuity. If you're willing to stick with it for 3 years, they'll give you 4.5%. If you want to do an annuity, there are better options. So for instance, Gainbridge, which would be an online insurance company, Gainbridge, that'd just be an example of one of them, is offering 5.8% right now. And you can go anywhere, I think, between 1 and 3 years with their guaranteed product. So, that would be another option. Or if you wanted more liquidity than that, you'd have to give up a little bit. But you can find between 4 and 4.3%. Right now, and you'd have 100% liquidity. You could take the money out at any point. You wouldn't have to leave it there for 3 years if that's attractive to you.
Yeah. Well, I'm 70 years old. He was just looking to protect some of my finances,
Okay. Well, I'd probably get a couple of other, folks to look at it before you picked something. Like I said here, one option would be to look at Gainbridge, And they're offering, like I say, 5.8%. Doesn't matter that you go with that one. I think the key is that there are other options out there. If you're looking for, safety with protection and you're looking to maximize the return, I think you can do a little better than that right now with an insured product. So I'd probably look around, perhaps even connecting with a certified Kingdom advisor on our website to help you think through this would be good as well. And that'd be at faithfi.com. Just click find a professional. We appreciate you being on the program today, Joel. Rosemary, I'm sorry we didn't get to you today. We'd love to have you call back to a future broadcast. Well, folks, thanks for being along with us today. Here's my heart and goal each day is to be an encouragement to you, to help you understand how to manage God's money in alignment with biblical wisdom and truth. And we do that together each day with your phone calls and with our guests, and certainly appreciated John Reinhart being here today. Hey, if you'd like to support our work, perhaps you want to help us reach more people with this message, or maybe you've found something helpful in your own financial life, The way to do that is to become a FaithFi partner. These are men and women who support us at $35 a month. And as a thank you, we send you 4 issues of our magazine, Faithful Steward, the next one due out in May, and pre-release copies of our studies and devotionals, including our next study due out next month, Wisdom Over Wealth, on the Book of Ecclesiastes. A big thanks to my team today, Devin, Sandy, and Jim. If you want to become a partner, just go to faithfi.com and click give. And we'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.